Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, License Plate Speech Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 23, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Walker v. Texas Division, Sons of Confederate Veterans. This case concerns two First Amendment issues. The first is whether the content displayed on specialty license plates issued by the state is government speech that is immune from the First Amendment prohibition on viewpoint discrimination. The second question is whether Texas engaged in viewpoint discrimination when it rejected a license plate design with the image of the Confederate flag, even though Texas had not issued license plate designs with a message or design contrary to that of the design proposed by the Sons of Confederate Veterans. To discuss the case, we have Eric Jaffe, who is sole practitioner at Eric S. Jaffe, PC. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Jaffe.
On Monday, March 23rd, the Supreme Court heard argument in the case of Walker versus Texas Division of the Sons of the Confederate Veterans. This case involved the question of whether viewpoint discrimination by Texas in its specialty license plate program, here the denial of a plate with the image of a Confederate flag, violated the First Amendment. Texas's position was that the license plates covering lots of different designs and lots of privately submitted as well as government-generated designs are all government speech, no matter who submitted the design, no matter what the design is touting, whether it's touting a commercial establishment or a Texas monument, it's all government speech. Respondents argued that the license plates were contrary, that the license plates were a limited public forum, that the public had been invited to speak in this limited forum, and consequently, viewpoint discrimination would violate the First Amendment, even if some levels of content discrimination might be permissible. At the end of the day, the justices had a very difficult time sort of figuring out what to do with this, in my opinion, because they have no decent theory regarding government speech. For those of you who follow this, you may recall that a few years back, the government, in a case called Johans versus Livestock Marketing Association, decided that the ads, "Beef, it's what's for dinner," were government speech rather than speech of the cattle producers who nominally sponsored those ads. And consequently, as government speech, as speech of the USDA, it was not subject to any First Amendment scrutiny at all. I will say with candor that I had a brief in that case, that I think that case was wrongly decided, and that Scalia, who drove the bus on that case, has his theory of government speech completely wrong. That being said, that's the law. And so when the government speaks under current jurisprudence, there is zero First Amendment scrutiny of the decisions that go into the government choosing to speak. That's probably not sensible, and that's why they now have an incredibly difficult problem in deciding what is and what is not government speech. And the reason for this is because the indicia of what constitutes government speech, i.e. government control over the content of the message, also happen to be precisely the same things that constitute a First Amendment violation if it's not government speech. So now we come to the license plates. I think there's no question that license plates are manufactured by the government. You're required to have them on your cars by virtue of government law. And they're clearly, at least partially, government speech. The part that says Texas on it, for example, I think undoubtedly is government speech. There's a little Texas state motto underneath it, a la the New Hampshire motto of live free or die. That is government speech for those of you in Washington, D.C., taxation without representation. That is government speech. There's no question that the government chooses that language, puts it on the plates by its own decision, and makes you drive around with it. As we know from earlier cases, you could put tape over that part of the government speech, not over the name of the jurisdiction necessarily, but certainly over the little sloganeering, the advocacy sloganeering that some states engage in, save the bay, taxation without representation, Virginia is for lovers. You can tape that over if you don't want to be associated with that so that it's not, you're not in the position of being compelled to disseminate government speech that is not essential to the function of a license plate, i.e., the actual number of your license plate or the states from which a license plate comes. But that being said, there are certainly instances where it's government speech. But in states that have things like vanity plates and specialty plate programs, Texas being the example that we're dealing with now, the question of whether the rest of it, all the selective parts of the license plate, also constitute government speech is extremely difficult. And you can see that in the questions the justices had, all trying to figure out whether it really is Texas speaking, even, you know, because it's a Texas license plate, or whether the fact that Texas gives so much choice to private citizens to design their own plates, to pick their own messages, to choose from hundreds of different options, whether that makes it individual speech, regardless of A, who generated the original design in the first place, i.e. whether it was a private design that says eat at Joe's Hamburgers, or whether it was a public design that said we like the Alamo. Given that you're choosing it as a driver, perhaps it is your speech, not the state's speech. But on the other hand, it's sitting on top of a Texas license plate, and it at least has some implication of endorsement by the state of Texas, not for the least of which reason that Texas has to approve all these designs. So there is some sense of an endorsement. And the fact that this now rides right in the middle of that line between private selection of speech within what is otherwise a government-created forum, i.e. think of the license plate as a billboard owned by the government. The billboard on a bus, for example, would be a good analogy, versus whether it is the government speaking in every instance, but giving you a choice of which of its messages you're willing to carry or interested in carrying on your car. The justices struggled mightily with this, and it's not at all clear to me what their answer is going to be at the end of the day. I will say that the justices started out quite skeptical of the Texas program, but as the argument evolved, seemed more and more reluctant to embrace the full implications of the respondent's position, which would have been no viewpoint discrimination at all, given that this would be deemed a limited public forum, perhaps very much like a commercial space on a bus. So if we're going to go down the justices and sort of think about who might go which way, I thought that at least the ones most likely to rule against Texas, at least in part, would be the Chief Justice Roberts, Kagan, and Sotomayor. Those seem to have great skepticism over Texas's view that it could choose the speech on these plates for whatever reason it desired with full discretion, no matter what. On the other hand, they were equally concerned that Texas be able to screen out the really bad stuff, KKK license plates, Nazi license plates, Go Jihad license plates or the like, or just curses, you know, a big FU on your license plate as your specialty design. And they seemed to think that that was pushing things a little too far and that Texas shouldn't have to even slightly be associated with such messages, given that, of course, Texas name is on the plate at the end of the day. So if I had to sort of read the tea leaves, I think there's at least a chance of a weak affirmance from those three, such that they decide that this particular case goes against Texas, but for reasons that leave open a lot of other room for Texas to sort of weed out the bad stuff. And towards the end of the argument, that seemed to be a direction that they were heading in, at least in their questions, of great concern over the bad stuff. That concern could just as easily end up affirming Texas's, so reversing the decision below, but endorsing Texas's position fully and letting Texas just have discretion and leave it at that. I thought Justice Ginsburg also might have a chance for a weak affirmance based upon some of her concern with excessive discretion by the administrative body that handles the approval process, with a possible out that if it was the legislature that made the call for specialty license plates, then a legislative determination of this is or is not part of the Texas license plate program would be sufficient to make a true government speech rather than just sort of discretionary administrative decision-making. Justice Ginsburg's theory that the legislature can engage in government speech when it selects a license plate, but perhaps not the administrative body, it doesn't have a ton of of theoretical support for it, but as a practical matter might work out reasonably well in that it would allow these sort of more official-seeming specialty plates, the ones that talk about the Alamo or special places in Texas or Texas colleges and universities, but would screen out a lot of the more private-seeming specialty plates like Bob's Burgers or, you know, whatever company, you know, got their own specialty plate, and might well screen out a whole bunch of these private organizations that have their own specialty plate. One could imagine Justice Ginsburg voting to affirm with a comment or with a concurrence that suggests that any of the plates that were actually adopted by the legislature itself or that in the future would be adopted by the legislature would in fact be acceptable. While the discretionary standard of, oh my God, it might offend somebody, so we're going to say no, would not be an acceptable criterion for choosing which plates stay and which plates don't stay. Justice Alito similarly had some early inclinations towards, I think, towards affirming and towards taking the First Amendment position here, but once again, some of that weakened as their argument went on as well, and it's hard to say which way he will go. Though again, he sort of, the questions he raised were things like, how is this different than a government billboard? How is this different than a government soapbox? Or you can imagine a government band shell in the middle of a park. Does the government get to have viewpoint discrimination about who gets to stand up on the soapbox? Who gets to, you know, speak in the band shell? Those suggestions, those examples are all very much akin to license plates in that they are paid for by the state. They may well have the state's name on it. It may say, you know, City of Arlington's bandshell. It may say State of Texas bandshell in the Capitol, whatever. Yet, one would have a hard time imagining viewpoint discrimination in who could get to use those and would not use those. Justice Breyer seems to hang in the middle on this one from my perspective. So we already have five sort of weak, maybe affirms, any of which could go the other way. Justice Breyer, I think, is truly on the fence on this one in that he sees some First Amendment injury from denying the Sons of the Confederate Veterans their plates, yet equally sees some limited state interest in not being associated with messages you don't like. And as per usual in First Amendment cases, Justice Breyer just sort of wants to do a balancing test about whether, you know, it's almost as if this was straight-up rational basis balancing or an administrative law balancing. And what would be the answer that we would come up with or that he would come up with if he decided this de novo? And given that that's his modus operandi in many First Amendment cases, one can imagine that the answer is as unpredictable as it gets. What one could be fairly confident of is that whatever answer he gives, it will be a case-by-case situational analysis. It will give fairly limited future guidance, and it will be based on whether he thinks the interest is good or bad, and whether, in particular, in this case, I think, whether he thinks the standard that the state applied in denying this license plate was a reasonable standard or had too much discretion that wasn't closely enough tied to a legitimate state interest. So, again, at the end of the day, it could end up being First Amendment protective, but not for any sort of rules-bound reason, but more for a balancing test reason. Justice Kennedy similarly was very skeptical about the amount of discretion in the standard and raised more than once this notion of could you permit a license plate that says go Democrats but deny a license plate that said go Republicans or vice versa, and asked that question over and over. And the answer he got from it and from Justice Scalia, who chimed in defense of the state, was that that's not a First Amendment violation, but it violates something else. One, as a small aside here, one might wonder what that something else is, because certainly neither Justice Scalia nor the state of Texas bothered to give an example of what constitutional provision might actually prohibit such a viewpoint discrimination. They seem to think that perhaps the Equal Protection Clause might do it, though of course the Equal Protection Clause, to the extent that this is speech, it would be the equal protection component of the First Amendment rather than the Equal Protection Clause per se. There's a lot of overlap there. But one has a hard time imagining what other standard what other constitutional standard would stop that if not the First Amendment? In any event, Justice Kennedy was quite unhappy about the notion that the more First Amendment protective standard would necessarily allow things like KKK, Nazis, Go Jihad, you know, ISIS, or whatever you want on a license plate. He seemed to imply that that was going too far, and that if that were really the rule, that there could be no viewpoint discrimination at all, that at the end of the day, that would be the death knell for the Texas specialty license plate program, which in turn would decrease speech. I thought that comment was particularly telling, and that he's trying to talk himself into a way that the actual First Amendment standard is anti-First Amendment in order to not have to apply it. And so that may be speaking more to his state of mind about having a great reluctance to apply genuine limited public forum standards to the specialty plate program. On the other hand, the notion that decreases speech in some First Amendment sense is absurd. It doesn't decrease speech any more than any other rule forbidding the government to have viewpoint discrimination in the press, which says, well, we wouldn't have a park at all if we couldn't decide only Democrats could talk, so we just won't have a park, and that decreases speech. That argument would be laughed out of town in a genuine public forum context. Why it suddenly takes up meaning here, one has to wonder. In any event, it just once again says that even Kennedy, who is typically one of the strongest First Amendment proponents on the court, I think might have some serious difficulty with this and, you know, might, again, go with the First Amendment side of this fight, but might not. Justice Scalia, I think, is the only really clear vote in this case. He thinks this is government speech. He openly defends the state of Texas during the arguments. He answers questions when they were having difficulty answering them themselves. He thinks there's nothing unusual about this, and that as long as Texas has ultimate say over what goes on a plate that has this name Texas under it and is actually a Texas property, that's okay. One has to infer that Justice Thomas will join him on this, given that Justice Thomas similarly joined him in the Livestock Marketing Association case, Johans versus Livestock Marketing, which was the beef ads. Though in other contexts, Justice Thomas is a little more protective of the First Amendment, I think, than Justice Scalia. In this context, it's not clear that he's sort of worked out the implications, though I wouldn't be shocked at all if he parted ways seeing the difficulty that Justice Scalia's rule would create. The difficulty being, of course, that there's nothing in Justice Scalia's rule that stops the state of Texas from endorsing certain political messages but not others, and the notion that there's some other constitutional provision that would do that is absurd. There's nothing out there. Scalia can't think of anything. He's been making this suggestion for years, yet still hasn't come up with an example of what constitutional provision might actually stop that. So, at the end of the day, I think this case is more interesting for what it reveals about the tension between limited public forum doctrine and government speech doctrine than it is for its own particulars. Nobody, or very few people, I imagine, really care what's on license plates that much, as all the justices seem to suggest, that specialty plate programs are primarily about making money for the state and sometimes for the charitable organizations that have specialty plates. They're really either vanity items more than actual meaningful speech items. And in addition, if you don't like what the state puts on a plate, you can always put your own bumper sticker next to it, you can tape it over, or you can simply not buy a specialty plate. So what's really happening here is you're simply denying preferred access to messages you don't like. I think that's a clear First Amendment violation, but the justices certainly do not agree with me on this. They may end up finding it to be a First Amendment violation. I don't think any of them would think it was clear at this point. And that, of course, is just a function of their government speech doctrine. If they had not taken that step back in the Livestock Marketing Association case and said that government speech is immune from the First Amendment, they wouldn't have these difficulties. The more sensible answer when it is government speech would be to apply the sort of compelled support for third-party speech doctrine, much like the union cases, where since if this is the government, they're presumably using our tax dollars and the authority that we've given them as voters to speak on behalf of the of everyone, one might imagine that they might have to at least say something that was germane to some non-speech-related activity that they were engaged in and that didn't overly violate the First Amendment or involve excessive viewpoint discrimination. That would be the test that you typically apply in the union context, like the teachers' unions in Lenhart or Abood or any of those cases. It fits perfectly well with government speech situations, which then lets us avoid the question of is this or is this not government speech and move right on to the notion of it is sort of compelled support for or denial of support for third-party speech. And consequently, you can just, we have a whole framework that's fairly forgiving when the government has something that it actually needs to say, but still applies First Amendment standards when the government engages in things like saying vote Democrat or vote Republican. If you look at any of the union cases, they, of course, deal with that situation much better than any of our government speech or any of our attempts to reconcile government speech with public forum. So there you have it. I think the case is a mess, doctrinally a mess. I think the justices are probably really up in the air about how to resolve it. What I might well expect is a number of fragmented opinions and a decision that is short on theory and long on practicality, so that in some way they get to say, you don't get to do anything you want in any circumstance. You need to at least have some uniform set of standards that doesn't allow for excessive abuse from a speech perspective, but you still get a decent amount of control over what goes on a Texas license plate and hence is at least implicitly endorsed by the state of Texas. How that comes out and whether that kind of an opinion leads to an affirmance or a reversal is extremely hard to say, as is the makeup. The one thing I think we can only say for sure is that Justice Scalia will say that it's government speech and that the First Amendment doesn't apply. So that's all I have for the post-argument discussion of Walker versus Texas Division of Sons of Confederate Veterans. And we will await a decision and hopefully a post-decision podcast where everything I've said is proven to be wrong or misguided or anything of that ilk. Thank you again for listening. This is the Federalist Society podcast. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.